Hey, give a hand for Richard. That was awesome. Okay, now we're gonna do something a little different this morning. Open up your Bibles to Revelation 22, and I want you to put something there to mark it. If you have a fancy little ribbon in your Bible, then you can mark it with that, or throw a bulletin or a business card in there, or pluck a strand of hair, or do whatever it takes, okay? Put something there to mark it in chapter 22, then shut your Bibles and put them under your seat. Now, normally I'm asking you to do the opposite, right? Take it out and start reading. But we're going to start off, because we're closing the book of Revelation today, we're going to start off with a little Revelation trivia, okay? To see how much you guys can remember from what we've learned. Now, if any of you guys were here last night and you know the questions that I'm going to ask, don't cheat, all right? None of that. But if this is your first time hearing this, then you guys are eligible to win. So I'm going to ask you a question. I'm going to go with the first hand that I see. And then the winner, I have seven questions here. The winner of each one gets a free Revelation t-shirt. All right? So you guys ready for this? All right. Wow, you guys are lame this morning. Okay, Richard. Okay, there we go. All right. Here we go. In Revelation chapter 1, starting all the way at the beginning. Now again, nobody looking in your Bibles. In Revelation chapter 1, what do the stars in Jesus' right hand represent? The priests or the pastors of the churches. Give it up for Sarah. Very nice. And after service, if you win, make sure you talk to me. I'll get you your shirt. All right? Second question. Name four of the seven churches in Revelation 2 through 3. Right here. Okay. Okay. Good. Can you get a fourth? You're almost there. Give her a minute. Ephesus, there you go. Very nice. Good job. Awesome. Some of those are pretty hard. You got Pergamos and Thyatira and Smyrna and all that stuff. Okay, number three. How many horsemen were in the tribulation? No. Four horsemen. Four horsemen of the tribulation. Very nice. Good job. Okay, this one's a pretty challenging one. If we don't get it, I'll let you look it up at the end. Okay, here we go. How many demons... Yes. How much? No. Okay. How many demons were released to kill one-third of mankind during the trumpet judgments? No. No. Maybe. I don't know. No. 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 Okay. We're going to look that one up. Okay. We'll come back to that one. All right? Question number five. How long... are the two witnesses on earth before they're killed?
Someday.
No. 3.5 years. Very nice. Wait, have you already won?
Yes.
You already won. No. Well, I know it. I know the answer. Good job, Caleb. Okay. Then you win a shirt and a high five. Very nice. Okay. Question number six. What name is on Jesus' robe when he comes to the Battle of Armageddon? And? Yes, very nice, very nice. Good job. Okay, Revelation 19 on that one. Okay, chapter 20. Question number seven. Who are the first two people to be thrown into hell? Kyle? No. Yes. Yes, Caleb, very nice. Good job. Okay, now I'm going to let you guys look up this last one. Pull out your Bibles. And I'm going to tell you exactly where to turn, so keep them shut, okay? Keep your Bible shut. If you have a zipper, you can unzip it, that's all right. Boys, if you have like a cute little flower that keeps it shut, you can remove that, okay? You ready? Okay, I'm going to tell you where to go. Now, here's how we do this. This isn't like, oh, I'm in the vicinity of that verse, okay? No. You have to be open to the page, finger on the verse, be ready to read it, and then you stand up. Okay, when you have your finger on that verse, you can stand up. If you stand up and you can't immediately read it, you lose. And the next person wins, okay? You ready? Everybody understand? Okay, Bible's closed. Revelation. Don't open it yet. 9:16, go. You got it? Read it. $200 million. Give it up for her. Very nice. Our winner. Very nice. Okay, so if you want a shirt or a high five, then make sure you talk to me after service and I'll hook you up. All right? Good job on the Revelation trivia. How many of you guys have enjoyed Revelation, the study of the book? You guys enjoyed it? It's been pretty challenging. It's been a lot of fun. We've learned a lot of really amazing things. I was thinking back on some of the stuff that we've gone through. It's taken us 26 weeks, about 9 months to cover the 22 chapters of Revelation, which comes out to 404 verses. I was thinking about a lot of the stuff that we studied. 200 million demons, 144,000 servants, 1,000 years reigning with Christ, 24 elders, 12 pearly gates, 7 churches, 7 years of tribulation, 7 seals, trumpets and bowls, 2 witnesses, and of course, 2 eternal destinations and 1 King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And of course, that's just the beginning of the stuff that we began to study, but man, it has been a journey through this book. But here's the important question. After all of that, we spent 21 chapters learning about everything that we need to know about the past in the first 3 chapters and the future in chapters 4 through 21. We've learned everything that we need to know about it. In fact, the book closes by God basically saying, don't add anything else to this. It's all that we need to know. But chapter 22 is a little bit different. Because it doesn't give us the scientific measurements. It doesn't give us any of those specifics. It's almost like a sit-down, heart-to-heart talk with God himself at certain times. And he's basically asking us the question, what are you going to do with all that I've told you? It's kind of the idea. Chapter 22 is the application of all of the whole book of Revelation. He wraps it up with God's last words. And not only are they the last words of Revelation, but they're the last words of all of Scripture. And these are very important words for us to understand this morning. And so what we're going to do, we're going to kind of sum up what is said here into 3 important application questions. And I'm going to go through those with you. We'll talk a little bit about how to apply what we've learned. And then we're going to do something a little bit different at the end. We're going to split up into small groups. And we're going to have a time to be able to talk with each other about what God has taught you and some ways that you can apply that to your life. All right? So let's read Revelation 22. We're going to read most of the rest of the chapter. We talked about the first 5 verses last week. So we will start in verse 6 of Revelation 22. Read all the way through the end of the book, through verse 21. Starting in verse 6. Then he said to me, this is the angel speaking to John, these words are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angels to show his servants the things which must shortly take place. Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. That's Jesus speaking. Now I, John, saw and heard these things. And when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. Then he said to me, see that you do not do that, for I am your fellow servant and of your brethren the prophets and of those who keep the words of this book. Worship God. And he said to me, do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I am coming quickly. This is Jesus speaking again. And my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. Verse 18, for I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of this book of prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, Lord Jesus. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Okay, so I told you what we're going to do here is wrap all of this up under three important application questions. I would encourage you to write these things down. They're on your bulletin if you want to fill in the blanks. They'll be up on your screen as we go along, and the leaders will lead you in discussion with these questions at the end, all right? Here's question number one. Are you listening? That's our first question this morning. Are you listening? And I need you guys to consider if you're listening. Did you guys know that, now this may not surprise some of you, did you guys know that guys talk three times less than girls? According to a 2006 study, girls use three times the amount of words every day that guys normally use, okay? Girls are around the 20,000 words per day, measurement. And guys are around 8,000 words per day, okay? I think it's probably because guys, our sentences go something like this. Me need food, right? And girls are like, oh my gosh, did you see what she was wearing the other day? And then when I was cooking, and then, you know, you're like, whoa, can you slow down, please, you know? And guys are like, no, me need food, you know? Some people think that girls talk so much because they're constantly repeating themselves to guys. I don't know if that's really the reason, but God is different than us. He doesn't just say things to say things. There's always a reason behind his words. And it's important for us to take God's word and put it as a high priority in our lives. Let me remind you of a few things that we just read. Verse 6, look at it. The angel says, these words are faithful and true. What words? The words that have just been spoken in the book of Revelation, and of course we know all of Scripture as well. Here's the idea, guys. There is a heaven and there is a hell. And every person who was ever born will end up in one of those two eternal destinations. So, let me ask you, if those words are faithful and true, as they are, does your life reflect that? Are you really listening and comprehending those words? If so, your life should reflect it. Verse 7, Jesus himself says, blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. That word keep literally means to guard or to hold fast. For centuries, people have misinterpreted and misapplied this book of Revelation. And our commissioning from God is to retain the truth of the Scripture. But I want you guys not to get the idea here. He's not saying to keep it and guard it for ourselves. Oh, are you a Christian? Oh, then let's read Revelation, okay? It's not for like Christian secret time, all right? This is for us to also share. Look at verse 10. The angel said, and he said to me, do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. Revelation was written to share. We're going to talk about just a minute how God wanted to make sure that John didn't just take everything that he wrote and seal it up. He said, make sure you don't seal it. The time is at hand. In other words, the time is near. One great thing about the Bible is that it's completely accurate. There's not too much and there's not too little. In fact, you probably read the verses as we were following along, verses 18 and 19. God warns very clearly about adding to Scripture or taking away from it. He says, if you want to add to it in verse 18, then I will add to you the plagues that are written in this book. Yikes. And he says, if you want to take away from it, then I will take away your part in heaven. So it's a very clear thing. God says it's exact and it's accurate exactly the way it was written. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. And it is our job as Christians not only to keep that truth and to guard the truth, but to let others know. Are you listening to the truth of the scripture? Just like the angel said, these words are faithful and true. Here's the second question. Are you obeying? So are you listening, and now are you obeying? The generation that we live in, the world that we live in, teaches us that we get things the way we want them, right? We want to have it our way. In fact, that's Burger King's slogan, have it your way. And we love that, right? We love that when we go into a restaurant, we can bark orders at our waiter and have our food prepared exactly how we want it. In fact, it's funny, whenever I take my daughter on an airplane, she thinks that the flight attendants, their whole goal in life is to serve her, okay? She's just convinced they are on that plane to make her life better. It's so funny. She'll be in her seat. She's 2, okay? And so she's understanding that they bring her snacks and apple juice. That's all, in her mind, that's the reason they're on the plane. So they'll walk by, you know, everybody's getting in their seats and putting their luggage away. They'll walk down the aisle and she'll go, snack, apple juice. Just yell it at them. And they're like, oh, that's so cute. I'm like, that's so rude that you just yelled that, you know? I read about a guy, actually, speaking of have it your way, in Virginia Beach, Florida, he ordered a burger at Burger King. He specifically asked for no tomatoes, no onions, and no pickles. Well, they forgot to leave those off the burger. Whoa, I'm tripping. They forgot to leave those off the burger. He sued them for $100,000 because he said he got sick from eating them. Hey, dude, check your burger next time, right? I don't understand. This world that we live in, he could really sue because he had pickles on his burger. I can't believe that. That's the world we live in, though, right? We want it our way. Well, let me put it on the other hand here. When God says to do it his way, we had better do it his way. He's the boss. And just like he doesn't just say things to say things, God doesn't just give commands to give commands. There's always a reason. Verse 10, God instructed, through the angel, God instructed John not to seal the words of the prophecy of this book. Why? Because revelation isn't just to keep to ourselves, it's to share with others. Now, let me just say this. When you go and share this with others, there will be times where you get discouraged. Why? Because not everybody cares about the book of Revelation. In fact, I would say a majority of the world could care less about the book of Revelation. So let me just remind you with this. God never said, go out and make everybody a Christian. He said, go out and tell them about me. That's what he said. And so you need to remember that it's not always about the way that they respond. Verse 11 details the ways that that many people will respond. Look at verse 11. He who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, on the other hand, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still. So we have the two sides. And for some, revelation, the truth of Jesus coming back, will lock them deeper into their sin. For others, the truth of revelation will free them, and it will result, on the other hand, with righteousness and holiness. But I want you guys to remember, it is never about their response. It is only about your obedience. It doesn't make you ineffective if they didn't change their lives when you told them about the gospel. The important part is that you told them. God didn't tell us to go out and change everybody's lives. He simply told us to go out and share with people. And he told John not to seal the words of the prophecy of this book so that he could do that. And let me tell you, being obedient will always be worth it. Look at verse 12. Jesus says, behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. Verse 12, this verse that we just read, Jesus speaking, far different than the closing verses of chapter 20 of Revelation. You remember the scene. There's Jesus the judge. All sinners who ever lived, probably tens of billions, standing in front of Jesus. And it says, a book was opened, the book of life, and books were opened. And they begin to be judged according to all the sin that they committed on the earth. Every sinful thought and action and deed is read aloud. And it's very clear that they have deserved to be punished for all of eternity in hell. Well, we are also repaid according to what we've done as Christians, but in a good way. God no longer judges us by the sin in our lives when we commit our lives to Christ, because Jesus took the payment and took the punishment for that. But what he does do is reward us according to our obedience. The good things that we do to serve the Lord are piling up for us in heaven, and we will be rewarded because of that. According to verse 14, only those who are obedient have access into heaven. So, are you obeying? God made it very clear that he did not want the words of this book to be sealed. But are your lips sealed? Are you too scared to tell people about the truth of the gospel? It's important to remember that it's not about their response, it's about your obedience. So are you listening? Are you obeying? And the third question, are you ready? You guys know what it's like when you're sleeping? Nobody really knows what happens when you're sleeping. You know, some of you guys are probably pretty restless when you're sleeping. You go to bed at night and you wake up in the morning and your feet are like on your pillow. You know, somehow you like turned all the way around. Your hair looks like, you know, you got in a fight with a weed whacker and it won, you know. And I remember one time my daughter woke up and she came into our bedroom and she had pulled her arm somehow out of her sleeve. But it wasn't just like hanging out the bottom of her shirt. Somehow it was through the neck hole of her PJs. So she was walking around like this, and she's like, hey, Daddy, Emery, wake up. And I was like, and what happened to you, you know? Her arms just out the neck hole. Like, how does that even happen during the night? I have no idea, right? Well, you've probably seen people as well that you can tell, you probably should have looked in the mirror before you came to school this morning, right? Or church or whatever. You're like, dude, your hair and your teeth, you know, like, you know what I'm talking about, right? Well, here's the idea. In James chapter 1, that kind of person is described as a person looking in the mirror, seeing that something needs to change, and walking away. James describes that person as somebody who hears what they need to do in their lives and yet walks out the door and does nothing about it. It's just like a person who wakes up in the morning with some wicked bedhead and does nothing about it. And the truth is, the Bible is very similar to that mirror. It points out what's wrong in our lives. Revelation points out many things that we need to do better, but it doesn't fix it for us. Just like the mirror doesn't sprout arms and comb your hair for you, okay? That'd be weird. And I get a little creeped out if that ever happened. But it doesn't do that. What does it do? It simply points out what needs to happen, and you have to take the effort to fix it. So let me ask you, what needs to be fixed with you as you think about preparing for the return of Christ? Is it exciting to know that Jesus is coming back? Or when you think of that, is that a frightening thing? Three times in Revelation 22, Jesus warns that he's coming very quickly. Look at verse 7. Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. Verse 12, behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. Verse 20, he who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Right there in chapter 22, we only hear Jesus talk four times, and three of the four times, he's warning us that he's coming quickly. And not only is he coming soon, but when he comes, it will happen very quickly, that the rapture of the church happens. Jesus could come back at any point, and the rapture simply means, as we talked about, that all those who are alive on earth as Christians and those who were Christians when they died are caught up immediately to meet with Christ. You know how quickly this is going to happen? 1 Corinthians 15 describes it as happening in the twinkling of an eye. Okay, everybody do this with me. On the count of three, I want you to blink really quick. Okay, ready? One, two, three. Blink really quick. Did everybody do it? I was blinking. I didn't see you do it. Okay. As quick as you could blink, the Bible says in the twinkling of an eye, we will all be changed. Those who are Christians will be caught up in the air with the Lord. It's like literally in slow motion, you close your eyes and you open them up and you're like, what the, where am I, you know? And you're with Christ. It happens that quickly. But are you ready? That's the question. So are you listening? Are you obeying? Are you ready? I read about a 24-year-old man in Alabama who got in a pretty bad habit of sleeping with a gun. Apparently, he must have been scared of somebody coming in while he was asleep or something. Well, I think last Wednesday, he started severely regretting this habit when he woke up after he shot himself in the shoulder while he was sleeping, okay? That's why your mommies tell you don't sleep with guns, okay? Just be careful. Now, I hate waking up to an alarm. I'm pretty sure I would hate much worse waking up to a gunshot to the shoulder, right? That would be a very rude awakening. Well, here's the idea. This guy had a very powerful weapon, but he was careless with it, and it ended up bringing him pain. We all have a very powerful weapon in front of us, but if we're careless with it, it will cause pain. We have everything that we need to know for life and godliness, according to this book right here. The whole future is laid out in front of us, but if we don't apply this, and if we get careless about it, it will be painful. Revelation 22 is an interesting chapter to wrap the whole thing up with because we get to hear from God's heart. He says, guys, I've spent 21 chapters laying it all out for you, but what are you going to do about it? That's the most important thing that we could consider. And we get to hear from God's heart. And so now is your chance to share your heart with others and with leaders about what's going on. I'm going to ask you guys, I'm going to ask first off the leaders. We're going to send the guys to this side in just a moment. Everybody stay seated, but all the guy leaders can head over there. And all the girl leaders, why don't you come over here to this side, all two of you. And we're going to split up here in just a moment. So what I'm going to ask you students is when you get to the appropriate side, find a leader, grab a seat. You'll have about 10 minutes to just share what God has taught you in the book of Revelation, and most importantly, how you're going to apply it. Your leaders are ready to talk to you about the things that we talked about today, and I encourage you, ask some questions and be open with each other, all right? So guys, why don't you head on over to this side, find a leader. Girls on this side, find a leader. And you guys have about 10 minutes. I'll come up here and close us in prayer when we're done.